On the show today, we have CUNA's very own Trey Hawkins talking about the Credit Union Legislative Action Council, or better known as CULAC. So Trey came on the show to talk to us about how exactly CULAC works, how it benefits credit unions by getting credit union-focused candidates elected so credit unions continue to do what they do best. So check it out. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have CUNA's very own Trey Hawkins. Trey, how you doing today?
Good. Good to be with you, Mike.
Well, thanks. Excited. Likewise. I always enjoy having you on the show. You always make it fun and entertaining and educational. So that's a good recipe. So and today we're talking a little bit of politics because you guys are having a breakout session at GAC here in a couple of weeks on the Credit Union Legislative Action Council, or better known as CULAC. And then kind of some credit union political action. But you guys, it's kind of a 101 on politics, I guess. So you want to give us a lay of the land here?
Yeah, it's easy. In my job, sometimes it's easy to forget that not everyone lives and breathes politics, especially these days when it can be so divisive and stressful thinking about it and following the news. So we thought we would, peel back the onion a little bit, take it back down to bare bones, and use the opportunity of the first ever virtual GAC to sort of just educate folks on, what a political action committee is, mm-hmm. what CULAC is as the credit union system's political action committee, how we operate and how we're able to, put those tools to use advocating for credit unions.
Yeah. And so, I don't want to steal all your thunder, but how does CULAC, for instance, how does it help credit unions kind of, advocate for them or on top of the political atmosphere?
Well, we're a federally registered political action committee, or PAC, which simply means that we're a government-regulated, transparent entity that can raise money from like-minded individuals, in our case, credit union employees, volunteers, and even members, who can pool those resources and then support candidates for office that kind of share common values or common outlook. So in our case, we're the premier PAC for the credit union industry, the credit union movement. So we raise, in the 2020 elections, we raised almost close to $5.5 million from credit union employees and volunteers and members all over the country. Mm-hmm. And then we use those resources to contribute to candidates running for Congress, for the U.S. House, the U.S. Senate, Democrat and Republican. Mm-hmm. We try to work with our state league partners to, vet candidates and then figure out, which candidate in every race will be the best candidate who understands and appreciates what credit unions are about.
So you put all your support behind those folks and hope they get elected so they can continue to further credit unions movement there. So I see how you guys work this. All right, good stuff. So what are a couple of takeaways that folks can obviously take away from this particular session?
Yeah, well, one of the things we're really trying to get across is that we're incredibly transparent. Something that a lot of folks don't understand about, the PAC world is that it's designed to be transparent to the public. So people who contribute to CULAC, they're voluntary donations from individuals. And mm-hmm. in our case, they have to be affiliated with a credit union in some way. But anyone who gives more than $200 in a year, their names are publicly disclosed. And there's a limit on how much they can give. They can give up to $5,000. But that's a government, a public transparency kind of ruling from the government where mm-hmm. You can look up and see who is supporting me and who's contributing. And then conversely, it's also fully every dollar that we use to support a candidate is fully transparent. So we have to report that to the Federal Election Commission. It's public record. But also we try to, be transparent directly with our supporters about, the process of how we're interviewing and selecting candidates to support, who we're supporting, so that people understand the value that they're getting and the role that we we play in helping with sort of, you know, CUNA's overall 360 degree advocacy approach.
And how significant is this for credit unions to have kind of this this support mechanism for the candidates that they want to get in? How significant? I mean, it sounds like it's pretty significant.
No, it's huge. I mean, I always describe it as you can think of advocacy. One way to think of it is like a three-legged stool. You know, you've got professional lobbyists, the hired guns at CUNA and the state leagues that do this every day and go up on Capitol Hill. We have our, you know, grassroots who are, in our case, credit union employees and volunteers and members, but who are constituents who, you know, participate in Hike the Hill or CUNA's GAC. And then the political leg, you know, QLAC is sort of the third stool. And the way that I kind of think of it is, if we can identify candidates running for Congress who are supportive and understand what a credit union is and how credit unions differ from banks and so on, and help them get elected, then the other two legs, the professional lobbyists and the grassroots constituents, are going to have a much easier time when they're advocating, because hopefully we've elected someone on the other side of the table who understands just how credit unions are different.
Yeah. And just reading some stories like post-election, this has done pretty well for credit unions, right? Because it sounds like most of the candidates, sometimes all, get into office, and a lot of it has to do with you guys.
Yeah, we were very proud. We were able to support over 400 candidates for Congress in the 2020 elections, and 387 of them won. It's a 95% success.
Those are good numbers. Yeah.
And the other thing I like to point out, which is huge, is particularly in this really divisive, highly charged political, you know, time that we're living in, we're one of the most bipartisan PACs out there. So we don't look at party affiliation, except in the context of a given race.
Sure.
But, you know, but we look to see, you know, first and foremost, it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican, you know, do you understand credit unions? Do you have a record of supporting credit unions? Do you understand what we're trying to do to advance our communities and serve our members? And that's first and foremost what we look to. Right. And I mention that because I think the bipartisan nature of our support, you know, helps us kind of weather the storm a little bit, because you see control of Washington flips back and forth, and it has a lot over the last decade from Democrats to Republicans. But when you've built relationships and have friends on both sides of the aisle, you know, you're a little insulated from being out of power if one side wins or the other, as it were.
That's a good point. Good point. So the goal obviously is to get more and more credit union related folks. Does this spread across? I mean, even folks who may not be as well versed in credit unions as the folks that you are supporting, does this kind of spread out to those folks as well, possibly, to kind of give them an education? I'm kind of reaching here, I know, but
yeah, no, and I'll pull back the onion a little bit, or maybe peel the curtain back. You know, we love to get involved when there's an open seat where there's, you know, no incumbent running for re-election. And we'll work with the relevant state league and local credit union leaders, and we'll try to meet with all of the candidates. And sometimes someone, you know, jumps out as an obvious choice because they've got a credit union background, or, you know, we had an example this year where, or last year where, you know, someone's mother worked for a credit union for 30, 40 years, and now she was running for Congress, you know. So that happens, and that's terrific. But oftentimes, we might be the first exposure that that a candidate has to credit unions, right? And so we see that as an important opportunity to educate them, you know, not-for-profit financial cooperative model and how credit unions differ, and you know, never pass up an opportunity to build a new friend if we can.
Oh gosh, no, yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, it's all good for sure. I mean, when you're educating somebody in this area, because that can spread the word even further. So good stuff. Hey, what are the goals here for this particular session? Obviously, to educate people on what this is all about. What else do you guys want to achieve?
Yeah, we're excited. We're going to do like a little bit of a primer on everything we just talked about. We have kind of the basics of the PAC and how it works. But we're also really excited that coming out of this election, one of the other things that QLAC does is we engage in, you know, advertising for credit union champions. So we will run TV ads or digital ads or send direct mailers. And so I'm really excited. We've got a couple of our consultants who helped run a couple of campaigns for us. Mm-hmm. One was a Democratic Senator, Gary Peters, in Michigan. And the other is a Republican Congressman, Don Bacon, in Omaha, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And so we have a session where we're walking through with them and kind of peel back, you know, What was the strategy behind the communications we used? You know, how did we talk to voters? How did we poll? You know, how did we get the message out to help them get reelected? Which is something that we do all the time, but a lot of times, you know, credit union folks don't often get to see that level of detail. So
yeah, me included. It's
really cool and fun.
Yeah, that's fascinating to see how that works, how that all comes together. Oh, so cool. Anything else, Trey? I mean, usually we do this in person at GAC, yep. Which I'm really bummed about because we all like going there and seeing everybody, but this time virtual, but hopefully next year or the year after we'll be back in person seeing this. But anything else to add here on this one? Because I'd really be interested to attend the session.
Yeah, well, if we didn't say earlier, let me make sure it's Wednesday, March 3rd at 1 p.m. Central.
Okay.
And we'll have, you know, a couple of panels getting into all of this. And, you know, you mentioned GAC being virtual. One of the things I'm really excited about is it's a huge opportunity for people who maybe don't get the chance to fly to Washington every year. Right. I'm certainly going to miss being in person and seeing you and seeing everybody else in the halls at the convention center. But you know, maybe some others who are, you know, stuck back home and not able to make it for whatever reason are able to experience some of it. So it's going to be new and different, but I think exciting in its own way.
Yeah, I think if you look at it from an optimistic standpoint, I mean, yeah, it just opens the doors for more and more people to check it out and you know, garner even more interest than it already has. So yeah, I think it's going to work out. I'm really, I'm pins and needles and seeing how you guys pull this off. I know you guys are going to do a great job, but I just can't wait to see what you guys do with it. So it's going to be exciting. Good stuff.
A lot of fun.
All right, Trey, well, I'll let you get back to work. I know you got a lot on your plate and a little bit of snow outside. So I won't keep you from that. So yeah, always enjoy talking to you. So thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike. It's terrific. Hey.